Morning. My name is Lan Huang. I am a master student studying horticulture science at Texas A&M University. I will talk about the effects of biochar and vermicompost on the container-grown basil and tomato. So what is biochar? Biochar refers to the carbon-rich material derived from biomass. It can be used as soil amendment, which have a lot of good benefits. It can increase the water and nutrient holding capacity, and because of its high absorbing ability, it can sequestrate carbon and mitigate greenhouse gas emission. And because most of the biochar we use are alkaline, so when we're adding biochar to soil, we can increase the soil pH and ameliorate the soil acidity. And because of biochar has high specific surface area, biochar can provide a suitable environment for the microbial activity, and all this can contribute to the increased plant growth or improved crop yield. In addition, biochar can be used as a potential alternative to the commonly used substrate. As we all know that container plant production needs significant amount of party mix or substrate, such as peat moss, vermiculite, perlite, bark, and so on. However, research has shown that excess harvest of peat moss has led to the damage to the peatland, and there is also an increasing cost and limited supply of the commonly used substrate. So it's necessary to find an alternative, and biochar has shown to be the potential alternative to the commonly used substrate. However, its effect on the container plant growth depends on a lot of factors, such as the feedstock sources. Biochar can be produced from green waste, wheat straw, wood, rice husk, and so on. So the physical and chemical properties of biochar depends on the original properties of the feedstock. And biochar can be produced from pyrolysis or gasification. Pyrolysis is a thermal decomposition of biomass by heating it around 400 to 600 degrees Celsius. And gasification is conducted under small amount of oxygen at higher temperature. So the production temperature can affect the properties of biochar, such as the nutrient availability and the pH. And other factors, including the percentage of biochar applied, other components mixed with biochar, and plant will grow in the substrate with biochar, can also lead to different effects. So there is no universal standard for biochar use. It will be beneficial to test the characteristics of biochar, the amendment options based on its characteristics, and different container-grown plants. And vermicompost is generally supposed to be beneficial, which involves using earthworms to break down and stabilize organic waste. It's finely textured, rich in nutrients, and has good water-holding capacity. So the objective of my research is to test the potential biochar and vermicompost mixes as replacements for the commercial peat-based container substrate. And we investigated the effects of biochar and vermicompost on the physical and chemical properties of the substrate and compared impacts of different amendment rates of biochar with vermicompost on basil and tomato plant growth. So the biochar we use in this research is made from fast pyrolysis of mixed hardwood. The pH is around 10.2. There were 17 treatments, which were all mixed by volume. As we can see from this figure, there were four levels of vermicompost percentage, 5, 10, 15, or 20%. And then there were four levels of biochar percentage, 20, 40, 60, 80%, with the rest being the commercial substrate. So there were 4x4 different combinations of biochar and vermicompost. So treatment 1 to 16 were the mixes with vermicompost and biochar, and treatment 17 were used as a control, which were 100% commercial substrate. And so seeds were sown on October 28th, and seedlings were transplanted on November 16th. There was one tomato seedling or four basil seedlings in each pot, and there were six replications per treatment. For basil plants, we were irrigated with 200 milligram per liter nitrogen nutrient solution, and for tomato plants, we irrigate them with 300 milligram per liter nitrogen nutrient solution. Physical properties including total porosity and container capacity were measured using the North Carolina State University horticulture substrate laboratory parameters, as we can see from the picture here. So the aluminum columns were connected to the base plate, which can rotate it to the open and closed position to let the water drain. So it's very convenient to test the physical properties. And at 0 to 4, 6, 9 weeks after transplanting, the growth index, substrate, EC, and pH, leaf greenness were measured. And for the growth index, we use this formula to calculate it. And the leaf greenness were abbreviated as SPART for the following results. And at 9 weeks after transplanting, the plants were harvested to measure the dry weight. For basil, we measure the shoot and root dry weight. And for tomato, we measure the stem, leaf, combined fruit and flower and root dry weight. We use completely randomized block design and use the donut test to compare the treatment with biochar and vermicompost with the control one. So here are the results. Because we have 17 different treatments, so there were a lot of data, I will just point out the highlights of our results. As we can see for the total porosity, total porosity of the mixes with biochar and vermicompost were similar to the control, except this one, which was the total porosity of the mixes with 10% vermicompost and 80% biochar. And for the container capacity, container capacity of the mixes with 20 or 40% biochar and 5, 10 or 50% vermicompost were similar to the control, which was in this red rectangle. And adding up to 20% vermicompost, which were treatment 13 to 16, decreased the container capacity. And here are the results for the plant grown in this container substrate. And first, I want to remind you all the treatments because it's just to complete the graph here. So we use 5, 10, 15, 20% vermicompost to mix with 20, 40, 60, 80% biochar, with the rest being the commercial substrate. And treatment 17 was the control. So for this big figure here, we divided into five parts, which were the growth index at 0, 2, 4, 6, 9 weeks after transplanting. And as here, we can see that the growth index of basil plants growing in the mixes with biochar and vermicompost were similar to the control. So there's no significant difference. And the results for the EC, the effect of biochar and vermicompost on EC was variable as time goes on. And at 9 weeks after transplanting, we can see that the EC of this mixes with biochar and vermicompost were lower than the control, except these four with the red arrow here, which were the EC of mixes with 5 or 10% vermicompost and 20% biochar and 20% vermicompost with 20 or 40% biochar. And the results for pH. Because the biochar we use, the pH is 10.2, as I mentioned before. So as biochar percentage increase, the pH increase, and other pH of the biochar and vermicompost mixes were higher than the control. And there is no significant difference among all the treatment for the SPA reading, which is the leaf greenness. And here are the results for the dry weight. We can see that all the basil plants grown in biochar and vermicompost mixes have higher or equal shoot, root, and total dry weight when we compare to the one grown in the 100% commercial substrate. And the following results are for the tomato plants. Here is the growth index. We can see that all the tomato plants grown in biochar and vermicompost mixes had higher or equal growth index compared to the one grown in the commercial substrate. And the results for the EC at 9 weeks after transplanting, all the EC of the mixes with biochar and vermicompost were similar to the control one, except these three, which were 5% vermicompost with 80% biochar and 50% vermicompost with 60 or 80% biochar, which were a little bit lower. And for the pH, the result was similar to the one for the basil. As biochar percentage increased, the pH increased, and all the pH of the biochar and vermicompost mixes were higher than the control one at 9 weeks after transplanting, except the mixes with 5, 10, or 15% vermicompost with 20% biochar. And the spot reading or the leaf greenness of the tomato plant growing in mixes with 80% biochar, which is these four here, were lower than the one on the control of the control at 9 weeks after transplanting. However, we can see the dry wheat. All the tomato plants growing in biochar and vermicompost mixes had higher or equal stem, leaf, combined flower and fruit and root dry wheat compared to the control, except this one, which is the root dry wheat in mixes with 10% biochar, 10% vermicompost and 40% biochar. However, when we add all this up to the total shoot dry wheat and total dry wheat, we can see that all the dry wheat of tomato plants were higher or equal in the mixes with biochar and vermicompost. So in concluding, we think that the growth index and total dry wheat of basil and tomato plants growing in biochar and vermicompost mixes were similar to or even higher than the one in 100% commercial substrate. The biochar and vermicompost mixes had the potential as replacement for the commercial substrate to grow container-grown plants. Thank you. I would like to take any questions. I think no, because biochar structure is very stable. It can resist degradation, and so it can remain for like hundreds of thousands of years. So I think it will not release. Sorry? The yielding fruit? You can see the... We combine the flower and fruit dry wheat here. So it's the similar to the control one. But I didn't count like how many they have. I just measure the dry wheat. Yes. Nutrients? I didn't test the nutrient analysis, but for the research I did this summer, we test the nutrient. But I think I will maybe you can like how to say, but for this research we didn't do the nutrient analysis. For the vermicompost. Okay, thank you.